In memory of my father, David Adler. Daughters of fathers are different from sons. Daughters, as they grow, do not take on their father's image. A daughter's voice will not deepen into her father's baritone. Her jaw will not sharpen to resemble his, and, in all likelihood, she will not reach his height. Rarely will anyone be startled when they encounter her on the street after his father's death, thinking for a moment, because of their resemblance, that they are seeing a ghost. Inasmuch as inheritance is supposed to provide the illusion of unbroken continuity, of semi-immortality, daughters cannot inherit their fathers. They will almost always be different in ways that sons might be similar. And yet, it is only after he sees a surprising inheritance of Tzofchad's daughters that Moshe asks God to appoint his successor. Moshe spoke to Hashem, saying, "Let Hashem, source of the breath of all flesh, appoint someone over the community who shall go out before them and come in before them, and who shall take them out and bring them in, so that Hashem's community may not be like sheep that have no shepherd." Moshe is remarkably similar to Tzofchad. Like Tzofchad, he is fated to die in the desert. Like Tzofchad, there is no obvious inheritor for his position. Bamidbar Rabbah suggests that upon seeing Tzofchad's daughters granted an inheritance in their father's name, Moshe begins to hope that God will decide that Moshe too deserves to have his own children carry on his legacy. The Lord shall appoint. What did he see that led him to request this matter after the order of inheritance? It was rather, since Tzofchad's daughters inherited from their father, Moshe said, "This is the moment for me to demand my needs. If the daughters inherit, it is only right that my sons inherit my prominence." Moshe's reasoning seems sound. If Tzofchad's daughters could inherit his land in order to carry on his memory, despite the fact that the Torah had previously only mentioned inheritance by males, surely God will allow Moshe's sons to inherit his position. God's answer, however, is no. The Holy One, blessed be He, said to him, "The guardian of a fig tree will eat its fruit. Your son sat idly by and did not engage in Torah study. Yeshua served you very much and accorded you great honor, and he would come early and stay late at your house of assembly. He would arrange the benches and spread the mats. Because he served you with all his might, he is worthy of serving Israel, as he will not be deprived of his reward." This reading of Moshe's story is tragic. What Moshe wants is what any other Jewish patriarch might have: the knowledge that his children will inherit him and carry on his memory by tending the same plot, or in this case, flock, that he did. But, God explains to Moshe, what Moshe has to pass on is different from every other Jew. Torah is not land, an external legacy. It is not something that can be passed on by virtue of a genetic link. Moshe's sons have not immersed themselves in Torah, and so they cannot inherit Moshe's portion. In this reading, what applies to a father of daughters cannot apply to Moshe, the father of unlearned sons. Avot Rabbi Natan, however, offers a different reading of Moshe's story, one in which Moshe himself recognizes that his sons will not inherit him. At the moment that Moshe saw that his sons did not have Torah such that they could fulfill his role after him, he wrapped himself in a tallit and stood in prayer. He said, "Master of the universe, tell me who will go at the head of this people." The Holy Blessed One said to Moshe, "Moshe, take Yeshua." In this reading, Moshe knows that his sons cannot inherit his position. Rather than trying to change that fact, Moshe takes steps to ensure that the Jewish people will be cared for, asking God to give them an appropriate shepherd to lead them once he is gone. While Avot Rabbi Natan offers a more redemptive reading than Bamidbar Rabbah, avoiding the tragedy of Moshe's prayer for his sons being rejected, it leaves Bamidbar Rabbah's question unanswered. Why does Moshe's prayer for a successor immediately follow the story of Tzofchad's daughters? What about his encounter with Tzofchad's daughters moved Moshe to ask for someone to inherit him? Perhaps for Avot Rabbi Natan, what Moshe learns from Tzofchad's daughters is not, as Bamidbar Rabbah suggests, that children always inherit, but that inheritance can take surprising forms. Tzofchat's daughters show Moshe that physical resemblance is not the only thing that matters in inheritance. When they talk about ensuring that their father's name is not forgotten, they make a deeper claim about legacy. It is a person's name that must be remembered and passed on, with all that that implies: values, ideas, teachings. Although a daughter may be different from her father physically, she carries those within her soul as much as a son might. When Moshe sees Tzofchat's daughters inherit, perhaps his ability to imagine what his inheritor might look like expands. His sons cannot be his inheritors, but as with Tzofchat, who had no sons, someone else can be. The jump between being inherited by daughters and being inherited by a non-relative is, of course, massive. Daughters are usually biologically related to their fathers and are usually raised by them from birth. But what Moshe does in asking for an inheritor who will carry on his legacy is an expansion of the principle that Tzofchat's daughters introduce. Inheritance can take many forms, and its animating concern is that the deceased's name, their life, their concerns, their legacy, is not forgotten. May we all merit inheritors who carry on our names. May we be worthy inheritors of those whose names we carry.